This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast.
We're internet sensations, guys.
Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on WSJS.
We're on a Tuesday drive. It's WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where it's going to be quite a day for our producer, Will Dalton. Not only is he fresh off watching Top Gun Maverick for the first time, he'll share his thoughts on that Tom Cruise classic later today. He's also going to be booking it to Raleigh as soon as the show ends, because tonight is game one of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Florida Panthers. And let's actually start there. Even though Florida is the defending Stanley Cup champions, tonight is not about them. Tonight is about the Carolina Hurricanes, and that's because tonight is absolutely their game to win. Florida, they had to play a Game 7 in Toronto just a couple of nights ago. It's such a relief when you hit that horn, because then the rest of the segment is fine. It's fine. Don't have to be on pins and needles, wondering when you're going to hit a button to interrupt. Thank you for that. Florida had to play in Game 7 a couple nights ago. Carolina hasn't had to play since last Thursday. That's when they wrapped up the Washington series in 5 with a road win in D.C. Also, the Canes are at home. They have home ice in this series. Carolina has not lost a game at the Lenovo Center, or as we call it, the Lenny, in these playoffs. They are 5-0 so far, trying to make it 6-0 shortly past 8 o'clock tonight on TNT. If Carolina loses this game, the pressure ramps up to uncomfortable levels ahead of Game 2 on Thursday. They've already lost 12 straight conference finals games. Get ready. You're going to hear that stat over and over and over again until Carolina wins a conference finals game. Let's not let that linger to Thursday. Shout out to the Cranberries. Those who know, know. They've lost 12 straight. Lost, swept by the Florida Panthers 2 years ago. Swept by the Boston Bruins in 2019. Starting this run of seven consecutive playoff appearances. And then before that, when Rod Brind'Amour was a player in 2009, even though that's not really relevant to this group playing right now, swept by the eventual Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins during that run. You're going to hear a lot about it. Oh, they haven't won an Eastern Conference Finals game since Game 7 of the 2006 Conference Final, where Carolina won the Cup, of course. Swept by this Florida team 2 years ago. Let's put it this way. If they lose tonight, it's unlikely Carolina's going to win the series. Does that mean that it's a must win for Game 1? No, it's still just one game in the series. But there's no scenario we're opening up the show tomorrow after a Carolina loss in an optimistic place about where Carolina stands in the series. If they don't win tonight, then Game 2 absolutely positively becomes a must-win. So let's not have it come down to that. Tonight is not about Florida. Florida, they are the road team. They're happy to be in the Eastern Conference Finals after winning on the road in a Game 7 against Toronto just a couple nights ago and quickly having to turn around to play tonight. They're not the ones that haven't won an Eastern Conference Finals game, and it seems forever. They're not the ones that got swept like Carolina did 2 years ago, facing each other head-to-head. Florida won the Stanley Cup last year. Tonight is about the Carolina Hurricanes. The Canes need to win this game. They'd really, 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 really like to win this game. How about we put it that way? And they're not going to miss their shot. They're not going to throw away their shot in Game 1. They should be highly motivated to jump all over Florida. They're going to have the home crowd behind them, another sellout, of course. And this team has been a lot more dominant than other Canes teams during this run. Don't forget that when Carolina faced Florida 2 years ago, it was after doing nothing at the deadline. And then Andrei Svechnikov went down with an ACL tear. Svech is on a run, on a roll in these playoffs with 8 playoff goals to lead Carolina. So is it going to be close? Yeah, it's going to be close. Florida's good. They're the defending champs for a reason. Sergei Bobrovsky, he's a problem, man. Sergei, he's going to keep Florida in this game. But Carolina, the urgency's with them. They are well-rested. They are at home. They're going to win tonight. Tight game. Florida will have a shot in the third. Carolina 3, Florida 1. On X, at Josh Graham Show and at WSJS Radio. It's where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and Twitch. However, and wherever you're listening or watching, greatly appreciate that. Will Dalton, he is the executive producer of this show, as mentioned. Would you like to share with the people how many Tom Cruise movies we've had you watch over the last 3 years doing our At the Movies segment?
So I tallied up about 10 movies.
Give it 10! 10 movies!
Yeah, that's not even counting Valkyrie that I'd already seen.
10 Tom Cruise movies that we've had you watch, including Top Gun Maverick, which you will review today. You have Mission Impossible, the last Mission Impossible movie we think that is dropping later this week. So with that in mind, we're asking the question, well, what is the best Tom Cruise movie? I've personally put together a top five list that we'll get to a little bit later on, and we'll also talk about Tom Cruise's recent classic, Top Gun Maverick. B-Dot is the sixth man of Tar Heel basketball. He'll be our guest later. We'll get into the NBA playoffs, the Western Conference Finals. Opens up Conference Finals play in the league tonight. We'll talk about that certainly as well. Moving on to something else completely. In Chapel Hill, while it seems North Carolina has put its foot down against Bill Belichick's girlfriend the last couple of weeks, limiting her power, limiting her access to the football program, today we learned Jordan Hudson isn't going anywhere anytime soon. This is Jordan Hudson's scene in The Wolf of Wall Street where she's got the microphone saying, I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. They're going to have to get the national guard. This is Jordan Hudson's moment. Quite literally, the relationship with Bill could be here to stay. Because the New York Times, this is not some blog, this is not Reddit, this isn't some obscure X account saying this. The New York Times is reporting that Jordan Hudson has told at least one person close to her, her and Bill Belichick are engaged to be married. Now, that has not been corroborated. They couldn't find more than one person who said that Jordan Hudson has told them that. But this is a New York Times report, and this is a big deal. We haven't gotten a North Carolina press release reacting to this news, refuting it, surprisingly. Not this time. Honestly, if it is true, the timeline wouldn't be all that surprising. Older folks, they work quicker than others. If you're not on your first marriage, all right, we're in our 70s. What are we waiting for here? Bill Belichick, certainly. And they've known each other for years. How many times is Jordan Hudson going to tell us that they've known each other since February of 2021? They've been dating for multiple years. It's obviously serious. He's talking about her on television. So the timeline wouldn't be all that surprising. And if the alleged engagement is in fact a new development, something that's happened the last few weeks, that would also make a ton of sense. Jordan, anybody, we don't know if people will be honest about it, but if you get into a relationship with somebody, odds are you get something out of it, right? Yeah. Jordan Hudson's getting something out of this relationship. She's received some powerful benefits from the relationship. Bill Belichick's getting something from this relationship, it seems, as well. And in the last few weeks, Jordan's power has been checked. The way Pablo Torre described it in his reporting is this is a power struggle. This is about power dynamics. And her power's been threatened after the CBS interview where North Carolina has said, nope, not anymore. Here comes a guy who's been doing PR for Chicago's pro teams the last quarter century. He's now running the football PR operation. You're not. And you could deal with Bill's personal stuff all you want. It's not crossing over into football. You're not going to be on the field miking people up anymore. That's not what this is. You're not an employee at North Carolina. So that's been threatened. And what do you do if you feel that your power might be in question? Well, You try to figure out a way to hold on for dear life and cling to that power. So she could have, hypothetically, put the full court press on Bill to get engaged in ways that only women can, Will. You know, it's like, hey, you know, hypothetically, here are some of the rings that look good on me. And hypothetically, my parents would really like if this happened. Oh, and if you're living together, if you want to get engaged real quickly, saying, oh, well, you know, I don't have to live here anymore. I can maybe just find myself an apartment or move into one of these other three houses of real estate that are close to $6 to $8 million in value that I've accrued since dating you the last few years. And that'll get things going quick. Not saying that that's what did happen here. Just saying that could be at play here. The Times reporting also dismissed one of Belichick's recent claims. We talked about this yesterday, that Bill Belichick went on Ryan Clark's podcast and said the reason why it seemed that Jordan was running the operation was because North Carolina didn't give me a PR person, didn't give me a sports information director. So she was the person that when people wanted to get in touch with me, she just filtered through it. That was it. Somebody wanted an autograph. And she's like, hey, Bill, how about you give this guy an autograph? And that's all it was. Well, the New York Times is also reporting that the Hard Knocks off season that the NFL Films was going to film and it was going to be carried on HBO was in fact, as we expected, killed by Jordan Hudson. This is from that story. This winter, producers at NFL Films decided a new season of its sports docuseries Hard Knocks would focus on Mr. Belichick's efforts to build the North Carolina football program ahead of the 2025 season. HBO agreed to air it. But days before they were set to announce the series, Mrs. Hudson demanded that she be granted content approval and partial ownership of the show, according to a person familiar with the deal who spoke on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized by producers to speak to a reporter. NFL Films then pulled the plug. She's the reason it got killed. Oh, but she was just there not doing anything related to the football program, autographs and stuff. Nonsense. And it's clear she isn't going away at North Carolina anytime soon, especially if these reports now of them being engaged are true. The sixth man of Tar Heel basketball is BDOT. He'll take me to grammar school in just a bit. And while he is here to talk about hoop, our attention is focused on pro basketball, not college right now. And let's actually start with a topic that's getting a wild amount of attention this week. With the WNBA season opening up, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, do you care? And if I don't, is something wrong with me?
No, I don't care. But when I see things, I give an opinion. I think Angel Reese needs to stop the flop and cut the cap, acting like she's friends with Caitlin Clark. I do like the dramatics that they're trying to put between these two, but it's only going to work if one of them becomes the villain. And in this situation, I think Angel Reese is the villain in this situation, and I think she needs to just go ahead and embrace that. That was not a super outlandish or outrageous foul on Caitlin Clark. I just think it was a hard foul for somebody who was wide open about to get an easy layup to the basket. It just happened to be Angel Reese. But to act like that we're friends, we're cool, no, this is just basketball, cut the cap, man. Cut the cap. They don't like each other. It's evident. I think the dislike comes more from Angel Reese than from Caitlin Clark. But I think a lot of that is because of the media and the entire circus that is put behind Caitlin Clark that is deserved. She's the freaking women's version of Steph Curry. She drops that hoe one step past half court. So I think she deserves all the accolades and all the attention she gets. But I do like the Larry Bird versus Magic Johnson type energy of Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And I'm here for it.
I am too. I like rivalries. I think it's revealing something about the sports moment we're in 2025. That we're just not, we want everybody to be friendly with each other. We don't like, back in the day, these types of like truly dislikable rivalries were actual, I mean, we celebrated those. It's part of the reason we like sports. But in modern day, like with golf, for example, Like, people, it became a big deal that Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau didn't like each other. It became a deal that Rory McIlroy didn't talk with Bryson during his round. Like, this was a story. People asked him about it at the PGA last week in Charlotte. And now with this, I mean, it's making rivalries less fun that we can't be okay with the idea that Angel Reese dislikes Caitlin Clark. It has to be, oh, she has to be appreciative. She wouldn't have that McDonald's deal if it wasn't for Caitlin Clark. And again, that makes it less fun to talk about.
I agree, man. Bring back the beef. Like, I like when Wendy's slogan was, where's the beef? Like, bring back the beef, man. You switch to NBA for a second, and not to do your show for you, Josh, but when you talk about the Knicks versus the Pacers, do you remember Reggie Miller versus John Starks? Do you remember the beef, dude?
Spike Lee. I mean, hard fouls. Mark Jackson played for both those teams, man.
Bro, like, bring back the beef, man. Stop all this.
Rick Smits against Pat Ewing. Let's go.
Come on, man. Reggie Miller hitting 13 points in 5 seconds or whatever the crazy stat is.
9-8.
Look at Spike Lee. Spike just.
9-8. Do the choke motion. Yeah. Like, if Twitter existed, there'd be think pieces like,
come on, man.
Was Reggie in the wrong? For doing that, that's what it would be. Getting to the NBA, I'll use the segue. The conference finals begin in both hockey and the NBA tonight. WD likes the Knicks and T-Wolves to advance to the finals. I like the opposite of Oklahoma City and Indiana. Where do you stand?
God! I hate agreeing with Josh Graham.
Don't do that.
Absolutely. Hate it.
There's nothing
that chafes my willy more than agreeing with Josh Graham. But I'm telling you, man, OKC is tough. And as much as I want Anthony Edwards to be he's the killer. You know, he is taking out everybody. You dig? Like, I enjoy watching him do that. I don't think he has enough to take out SGA and them boys. I got OKC winning the West. They've been the best team, not just the West, but an entire NBA all season. And then Cleveland Cavaliers fumbled the ball. They super fumbled the bag. I think the Knicks have reached their zenith this season. They have reached the apex by getting to the conference championship. But I just like Halliburton and them boys, man. Halliburton is playing with a chip. And I know the Brunson burner don't play in them clutch moments. I know that the Knicks have been playing great. But I just don't think that they're ready to get over that cliff to the championship. I got the Pacers, and then I got OKC. Just doing the Pacers dirty in the finals.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Edwards is a dog, but I can't get that Fantasia song out of my head when I see him every other commercial that he's in. You know what I'm talking about? You know, there's the one where he's in the car. What's happening to me?
Oh, yeah. He's singing? Yeah. But I mean, shoot, SGA and Chet got them little silly singing commercials and stuff, too.
It's true.
Everybody has those silly commercials, man.
That's true.
And Anthony Edwards is not a dog, man. He's a wolf.
Oh, that's right. He's a T-Wolf. Okay, let's get to grammar school for...
Wait, one last thing, though.
Yeah, what do you got?
I do like the storyline of the T-Wolves and the Knicks with Julius Randle having to play his old team in a series.
Carl Anthony Towns.
That would be great, bro. Now, that storyline would be amazing. But the obnoxious Knicks fans, I cannot imagine them being... The Knicks fans and us Cowboy fans are the two most obnoxious fan bases in sports. Can you imagine the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl? Oh, my God.
See, you walk in my direction. I go the other way.
All right, in my head.
What's happening to me? Okay, all just right. Hit grammar school.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking. And just when you think it can't get any worse, rah, 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 Josh is going to attempt to learn B-Dot's vernacular.
I'm
going to
put one in the air.
It's time for B-Dot's Grammar School.
Nobody better than B-Dot. Pre-game, during game, post-game.
WD is going to be making his way to Raleigh in T-minus 20 minutes or so, booking it to get to game one of the conference finals in time. 8 o'clock puck drop, maybe shortly after that. Here's my caucastic question. Who are the Hurricanes facing in the conference finals? I'll give you a hint. Washington. It's the team that won last year's Stanley Cup.
A hockey team.
That's true.
Can you just tell me what city or state they're in? I can tell you the mascot.
They're in the state of Florida.
See, I was about to say the Marlins. Just give me my buzzer.
They also have the same nickname as our state's NFL team.
They're the you said they're in Florida? They're the Florida Cancers?
They're the Florida they're the Florida Panthers.
Oh, you said it's the same. I thought you said it rhymed.
Sorry. No. It's the Florida Panthers.
Panthers. That's the real hockey team?
That is the hockey team.
Josh, I've never heard of that hockey team before in my life.
They won the Stanley Cup last year.
Josh, I've never heard of the Florida Panthers in my life.
Well, now you have. There's a team that was the best team in hockey last year that the Hurricanes are playing tonight called the Florida Panthers. That's a thing.
Do we have a chance in this series?
I think we're going to win.
You think we're going to go to the Stanley Cup Championship?
I do.
Is it the Stanley Cup Finals or the Stanley Cup
Championship? Stanley Cup Final.
Yo, if we can go to the Stanley Cup Finals, we ain't been there since, what, 2006, ain't it?
That's right.
Yo, we're going to be so turned. Oh, my God, it's going to be so turned. 20 years later, team me up.
WD's going to be there tonight. Like I said, he's going to be leaving in about 20 minutes, not even.
This is game one?
Game one. TNT, later tonight, fire it up. Dot might actually turn it on. Probably not.
I'm going to try to see something. I want to get into the...
Sound the siren. Okay, well, what are your questions for me? You and Will Dalton collaborating behind the scenes. What do you have dug up?
Yeah, I was about to say, man, you're on your own today, bro. Like, okay. WD actually scripted today's episode of Grammar School. So. Hey!
I'm just going to fire off then. I'm going to go instant reaction and go by myself. No help.
What if I tell you it's brick, what am I telling you?
This is different than a brick. Like, we know
it. A brick is basketball, but this is me just telling you, woo, it's brick. What am I telling you?
I'm going to go instant reaction. Kind of like one of the test, like the ink blot test, that type of thing. Where, what do you see? What I hear here is that something's tough. If it's brick, it's tough. And like, you know, I'm trying to think of an example of an NBA player that might be really tough. Giannis, brick, tough. You know, it's brick. It's tough.
Because sturdy. I want you to start off strong, and I know that you can't use a lifeline, I'm going to give you a hint, because that is incorrect.
Yeah, I gave you a hint for the caucastic question.
You did. If I walk outside and I say, oh, it's brick.
It's brick. I walk outside. Assuming that, like, shooting a brick means something bad happens. Maybe it's brick means it's not kosher. It's not fun. This isn't good. It's bad. So, like, maybe Giannis isn't the example of being brick. Maybe the example would be, I don't know, the Charlotte Hornets are brick.
Is that your final answer?
Sure.
You're about to be upset. You're incorrect. Now, when we talk about bricks, like shots, if you take a shot and you make a bunch of bricks, are you hot or are you cold?
You're cold. Oh, yeah, it's cold outside.
So if I go outside brick. And I say, it's brick, what am I saying?
It's cold outside.
Yeah.
It's brick. There's a Ben Folds song called Brick. It's really good. The Pride of Winston-Salem and Reynolds High School. It's pretty good. You could check it out. You probably won't. Okay, what's next?
Definitely won't. If someone is in the mix... They're in the mix. What is this person?
I'll say that they're relevant, that they're involved if they're in the mix. You know, my team fired their manager over the weekend in baseball. So there are a bunch of candidates you would say are in the mix. Like maybe a Carlos Beltran or a David Rott. They're in the mix. Or, you know, if we're hanging out later and I'm asking who's coming, you could say that WD's in the mix if he's going to be there. Or, you know, fill in the blank. Willow the dog might be in the mix. Baby Daniel could be in the mix. That's what we're going with. Yeah, that they're involved, that they're present. They're in the mix.
I'm going to go to my judge here who helped me co-script today's episode. WD, we're going to give him a pass or fail.
I think we got to give him a fail for that one. Because, like, it's not bright. Like, it's a...
Well, what's the answer?
Heavily involved in street drama. or activity, not just heavily like involved.
Because he used the word involved, I said, I might give him that. But then he went straight,
you know,
sarcastic,
what?
Talking about my baseball team. They're in the mix.
You're saying Willow the dog can't be involved in street drama?
She's a dog and she's white, Josh.
I think you underestimate Willow the dog.
In the mix means you're involved in street stuff, man. You in the streets. You out here. You in the mix. You in there.
Okay. What's the last one? I ain't getting skunked.
Diabolic. What's a thirst bucket?
What? The what bucket?
Thirst. Thirst bucket.
Oh. The thirst bucket.
Yo, can I get a screenshot of just Josh's face?
Oh, yeah. With
this, what?
This is a good one. This
I said a three-letter word bucket.
Thirst bucket. Thirst bucket. I know what a thirst trap is.
Okay.
Where you're sending out posts. Usually women are posting like pictures that might celebrate certain features, like accentuate certain features that they might have. A thirst bucket, though, it's like is this like a tangible bucket?
No, it is not.
Okay.
A person would be described as a thirst bucket.
Okay, yeah, then it's somebody who would post a lot of thirst traps and whatnot, like very attractive women, Instagram influencers. I guess attractive men could probably do the same thing, shirtless. Those would be described as being thirst buckets, that the bucket is full of thirst traps and things of that nature.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
0-3 today, Josh.
What?
0-3.
What?
Yeah. A thirst bucket is actually not the person who's posting all of these posts. The thirst bucket is the desperate person
who can. Wow.
Yeah, you're a thirst bucket.
The person who has like who actually subscribes to OnlyFans accounts. Those people.
That part. He's a thirst bucket.
Thirst bucket.
Or she's a thirst.
Man,
bucket.
Tough day for you.
It really is.
Tough day.
Let's hope
we
this,
got him. Done.
Let's hope this doesn't, ladies and gentlemen. We got him. Let's hope it doesn't transition to the hockey tonight or even the baseball. I don't know.
Jesus.
This is what we've learned today. So WD watched Top Gun Maverick for the first time. And we've
now have a rewrite to that recently.
That this is what WD brought up too, that they're looking at maybe having another another Top Gun movie. Yeah. So WD painting a picture a few years ago when we started doing the At the Movie segment said that his familiarity of Tom Cruise was the movie Valkyrie. That's what he knew him from, Valkyrie. And I thought, right. So he's seen none of the new Mission Impossible coming out later this week, might be the last Mission Impossible. Since then, we've had Will watch not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not eight. No, wait, 10 Tom Cruise movies. Since then, yes,
oh, yeah.
Over the last 2.5 years, we dug up the number today. He's watched 10 of them, which leads to the question, what is your favorite? I released my list earlier. Jerry Maguire is my number one Tom Cruise movie. What is your favorite Tom Cruise movie?
First of all, I can't even name 10 Tom Cruise movies. When you said Jerry Maguire, I was like, oh, damn, that is Tom Cruise.
Let me rattle them off then to allow for you the filibuster since I didn't prepare you. My top five was... Number, what do we have Bob to help us count down my top five again?
Number five.
Risky Business.
Number four.
Top Gun Maverick.
Amazing. Number three.
Rain Man.
Oh, that's my
number
one.
Two.
A Few Good Men.
Woo, another great one.
Number one.
Jerry Maguire, but also not making the cut was like Magnolia, The Firm, The Color of Money. Like a lot of good choices, you know.
I think your top three would be my top three, but just sort of reposition. I think Jerry Maguire would go two. What was your three? I think your three is my one, and your two is my three.
Okay, so my number three was Rain Man.
That's number one for me, man. Him and Dustin Hoffman. Oh my God, man! Like it doesn't get much better than that movie. That movie is amazing. And then I throw Jerry Maguire, Show Me the Money at number two, and then number three, I think that's Top Gun.
It was quite the revelation, though, that WD has now said, I think my favorite actor might be Tom Cruise now, based on all these movies that we've had him seen. And it probably is the top actor that we've had you watch movies for.
You got the wrong Tom, man.
Better than...
You got the wrong Tom.
Hanks and Cruz, man.
Cruz ain't better than Hanks, man. Cruz ain't better than Hanks, man. Put that on your poll. Cruz ain't better than Hanks, man. Hanks has played. Hanks made you think that Wilbur, what's his name, Wilbur, was a real person.
Who?
Woody.
What was his name?
Woody.
Wilson.
Wilson the volleyball.
Wilson! You cried when Wilson died.
He
cried.
Well, we don't know if he died. We don't know that.
I mean, when we lost Wilson.
Okay, when Wilson got lost, sure. I hope Wilson's living a happy and fruitful volleyball life since then.
No way you pick Cruz over Hanks, man. No way.
I think Tom Cruz has a deeper catalog.
No way.
I think he does.
Because
the 80s, like a lot of these 80s movies are outstanding from Cruz.
Tom Cruise couldn't have played freaking Forrest Gump.
I know, but the point I'm making is...
He had to get Dustin Hoffman to play Forrest Gump.
The point is that all the run really started for
Forrest Gump.
for Tom Hanks in the 90s. And it might be the greatest movie run of any actor ever, but I'll take all the 80s Cruise movies over Bachelor Party, Big and Turner and Hooch. Like those really are the ones that stand out from the 80s until you get to the 90s, right? And then you get the run where he did this in a row. This is the argument for Hanks. He did these movies consecutively. A League of Their Own, Sleepless in Seattle, Philadelphia, Forrest Gump, Apollo 13, Toy Story, That Thing You Do, Saving Private Ryan, You Got Mail, Toy Story 2, The Green Mile, Castaway. All in a row.
But that's like Will Smith. Pull up Will Smith. He did the same thing. Will Smith did the exact same thing, dude.
Not that electric. Not
Are
that
you crazy?
Probably
in the conversation.
From 95 to 2002, that run from Will Smith will never be topped, ever. Yeah,
it will because, Wild Wild West was in that run, and that might be the worst movie I've ever seen.
At the box office.
I'm not disputing it. Okay, Keeping Up with the Kardashians is a better show than 60 Minutes because it has more people watching it, I guess.
We're near the same thing. But Wild Wild West also shows Will Smith's reach. Like
also, Ali didn't meet the mark. I love that. I love Ali, Muhammad Ali.
You said Ali didn't meet the mark.
No, it didn't.
My man. All right, we done here?
Shark Tales in that run. Shark Tales in this run. What are you talking about?
Bro, you forgetting Bad Boys, Independence Day.
No. I'm not saying you can't cherry pick a few.
That run.
I know. I just told you Tom Hanks did all of that in a row. And I said in the run you're talking about features Shark Tale and Wild Wild West.
Will Smith went six straight summers locking down Blockbuster. They called it Summer of Will for 6 years in a row. What are you talking about? Tom Hanks and Tom Cruise never had their own summers. For 6 years in a row?
Cruz did, actually.
Are you nuts?
I don't think
I am. Are you nuts?
You got to put some respect on Tom Cruise's name, I think.
No, you got to put some respect on Will Smith's name.
He turned down Django. That's all I got to say.
I mean, you know. But then he came back and did his own slave movie that was decent.
Dot, we love you, brother. Enjoy
love
the start
y'all,
of the conference.
Cocaine's tonight.
We'll talk to you next week.
Done. It's time once again.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
Okay, here's the theme. Make it themes plural for WD's movies next week. Two ideas in my head. Revenge movies, the Carolina Hurricanes, trying to exact revenge on the Florida Panthers in these Eastern Conference Finals. Also, I rewatched Death Wish for the first time in a long time last night. You probably haven't seen the 70s movie. It was remade 6 or 7 years ago. That's not a shock. Shout out to Charles Bronson. And this year has been the year of remakes and sequels. There's been a lot of them. And it was announced last night that there's a new Lethal Weapon being made, and apparently Mel Gibson and Danny Glover are going to be involved with that project. So with that in mind, feel free to shoot some movies our way right now that WD should be watching
in the themes of revenge movies or sequels slash remakes that maybe WD has seen, maybe WD has not. And we'll get to that shortly. Put some movies on the poll that you can vote on our X pages at Josh Graham Show and at WSJS Radio. This is the question we set out to answer today, though. The NBA draft lottery didn't go Charlotte's way in that they didn't get the number one pick. They got the number four pick in the draft, so no Cooper Flagg, sadly for Charlotte. Once again, bummed out on lottery night. The combine just finished over the weekend in Chicago. Got a lot of valuable intel from that. A lot of reports, a lot of mocks coming out since then. So, if you are a Charlotte Hornets fan, what are you rooting for at number four? What is the best case scenario? Because reading the tea leaves here, Baylor's VJ Edgecombe seems to be that best case for Charlotte. For one, there are numerous red flags with Rutgers guard Ace Bailey. See, even though Rutgers had two of the four best players in this draft, Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, they were not a good basketball team.
Rutgers basketball.
Not very good last year. And his shot selection, a problem, questionable. Also concerning, he was listed at 6'10 at Rutgers, and then he gets to the combine, he gets measured, and he is 2.5 inches shorter than what he was listed at Rutgers. We hear about growth spurts. Wow, this guy is taller than we thought. 2.5 inches shorter? Some questions should be asked there. According to ESPN's Jonathan Givony, Ace Bailey has been described as, quote, unpolished, close quote, in team interviews at the combine, and many teams have questioned his feel for the game. Now, you could dismiss this as draft spin. Oh, this is a team just trying to manipulate things, right? Ask Shedeur Sanders if team interviews, those not going well, can hurt your draft stock. Ask him, see what he would say. So that's Ace Bailey. Meanwhile, VJ Edgecombe, he is both a basketball and a culture fit in Charlotte. See, the problem with Ace Bailey is WD, a guy that has shot selection issues, that there might be some personality, off the court things that are questionable, maturity maybe even a question mark. Does that sound like the type of guy you might want to surround LaMelo Ball with? Does that seem like a great combination? Hey, let's bring in a guy with questionable shot selection that might have maturity as something that you're questioning. Not the greatest. VJ Edgecombe seems to be a basketball and a culture fit. From a hoops perspective, he will be a more reliable perimeter defender than LaMelo and Brandon Miller. Brandon Miller, very skinny. Not really a guy that you're leaning on for defense. LaMelo Ball effort is just a problem on that side. Not for VJ Edgecombe. VJ Edgecombe comes from a winning program. We watched Baylor and Edgecombe in the NCAA tournament in Raleigh. He was in that same region that Duke was at and that UConn was at. We watched them. They made the tournament. Scott Drew produces reliable defensive players. Whether it's Jeremy Sohan in San Antonio, whether it's Davion Mitchell. I mean, they won a national title a few years ago. So, VJ Edgecombe, he comes from a winning program. He's willing to play defense, which Charlotte desperately needs. And he seems to be a player that would slide nicely right there at the three, along with LaMelo and with Brandon Miller. So, give me the best basketball fit. Give me the best culture fit. If it's really close from a talent perspective, which it seems to be. Charlotte's board at number four should be two names long. It should be Edgecombe and it should be Ace Bailey. That should be the list because you know you're not getting Cooper Flagg
And you pretty much know you're not going Dylan Harper either, the other Rutgers guard who's probably going number two to the Spurs. So whomever Philadelphia does not take with the number three pick in this draft, Charlotte should take with the number four pick. But Josh, didn't you just say all these concerns about Ace Bailey? Why would you still take him with the number four pick? When we were talking the day after the lottery, Will, the reaction we had was this was not doomsday for Charlotte. And the reason why it wasn't doomsday for Charlotte is there is a drop-off, it would seem, in talent after four. You wanted to be in the top four because there is a talent drop-off from Ace Bailey, VJ Edgecombe, till you get to more situational role player types, not really franchise caliber guys like Trey Johnson, who's a really good shooter, or Con Knipple from Duke, or Kamon Malawach, who could do a lot of things and start for you, but isn't like a franchise pillar type of player. There seem to be only four of those in this draft. Cooper Flagg, a different level. Dylan Harper, maybe at his own tier two, as well below Cooper, but still pretty high up. But then there's VJ Edgecombe and Ace Bailey that we put into a similar box, and Charlotte will have one of those guys available on the board, and that you should be pretty happy about if you're a Hornet fan. Okay, WD, we need to figure out what your movie is going to be next week. We have Cool Slick writing here. So are we still using Fit? Okay, LOL. Only if it's even, you go to Fit. See, there are guys like Trey Johnson, Con Knipple, they'd be better fits than Ace Bailey would. But Ace Bailey is so much more talented, has so much of a higher ceiling, you take those guys over them. Like, Fit shouldn't factor in unless it's a tie. And I view Ace Bailey and VJ Edgecombe very similarly. Like, it's almost a tie. And then you go and talk about Fit. Okay, let's get to next week's movies. So the problem with revenge movies, Will, we've done a lot of them. Tarantino movies, Inglourious Bastards, Django, Kill Bill. Mm-hmm. Those are a lot of...
Might be the best revenge movies.
Unforgiven might be the best revenge movie. John Wick. We've done that.
Deserves got nothing to do with it.
Well, that's not John Wick. That's Unforgiven. Man on Fire. Cape Fear. Yep. That counts as a revenge movie. So we need some more. So was racking my brain a little bit. Have you seen, you said you hadn't seen Death Wish.
Well.
Have you seen Commando? Like Arnold, what Arnold movies have we done?
We've done Predator versus Alien.
No, we haven't done versus Alien, but we've just done Predator.
We've done Predator.
Is that it? Terminator?
We haven't done any of those.
We haven't done any of the Terminator movies.
Nope. I have not.
See, those aren't really revenge movies, though.
No.
But we'll keep it noted. I mean, Terminator 2 might be the best sequel ever. So, I do like the idea of putting Lethal Weapon on this poll, because you haven't seen that, I'm sure.
Well?
And I like the idea of putting Terminator on this poll, too. But if we do either of those, you have to watch 1 and 2. It can't be just 1.
So it's got to be a double feature.
It has to be. Okay. Because Terminator 2 is maybe the greatest sequel not named Godfather ever.
Or Empire Strikes Back.
Okay. And Lethal Weapon 2 is much better than Lethal Weapon 1. You got to watch them both. Like, there are more beyond 2, but 2 is the best one of those series.
Terminator gets my vote.
Okay, but you don't even know what Lethal Weapon is. And Lethal Weapon 2 is, again... I'm fine with putting both of those on the poll. I'm fine with that. Let me see. There's a new Den of Thieves. Did we do the original Den of Thieves?
I had already seen it.
Good for you. There's a Running Man coming out.
Well,
all right, we've got our sequels. Let's focus on revenge movie. Mm-hmm. Have you done Memento?
Well,
that's a Christopher Nolan movie. That's probably the big. That's probably his first big movie that he ever did.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is.
All right, then we'll put that down. That would be great. And you know what? Since I watched it last night, we'll put Death Wish on there as well.
Well?
How's that for variety? We got Terminator. We got Lethal Weapon, we got Death Wish, and we have Memento. But I think we have an idea which two this is probably going to come down to. Okay. We have, oh my goodness. How about this? We have, Will, today, on May the 20th, over under win totals for ACC football teams this year. We have them in front of us. Plus, even some week one point spreads. We'll hit on those in Best Bets next. WSJS. We already said we've jumped on the Canes to win the series against Florida since Carolina's an underdog. Did that in Best Bets yesterday. Let's actually push things ahead to football season, where on May 20th, today, is the day we received ACC football over-unders for the 25 season. Let's get into it.
I'm not a betting duck.
Care to make it interesting?
You know you do.
You're on. Count me in on this.
Your best bet.
But my money's on the other team.
This is Josh's Best Bets.
Robert Walsh chiming in on the show. How TF did Will just watch Top Gun? Make him watch Vanilla Sky. That's outstanding. He's watched Top Gun a good bit ago. He hadn't seen Top Gun Maverick, which is equally as surprising because he's been the producer of the show since that movie came out. Love our guy Robert. Vote on our poll at Josh Graham Show and at WSJS Radio. Which movie should he watch for the first time next week? Death Wish, Terminator 1 and 2, Lethal Weapon 1 and 2, or Memento? At Josh Graham Show and at WSJS Radio. Okay, we've got odds here. WD, let's focus on the ACC Big Four. Do you want to take a guess what North Carolina's odds, what their over-under win total is for this season under Bill Belichick?
7.5.
That is correct.
Send me that cash up, fam.
I may or may not have seen that already.
Oh, you saw it on your feet? Well, that's cheating, Will, and cheating should not be rewarded, but...
But I don't know the rest of them, so that Carolina's the only one that I took a look at.
Okay. How about Duke?
Ooh.
So they won 9 games.
They did.
In each of the last 2 years.
9 times.
Lost Riley Leonard a couple years back. Last year made it happen with Malik Murphy, who's now the quarterback at Oregon State. They bring in Darian Mensah from Tulane to run. Chop.
I'm going to say 10.5.
The answer is 6.5, Will.
What?
10.5?
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind?
I think they're going to get better with Mensah.
There's no team that has 10.5. Like, Clemson is 9.5. 10.5 for Duke? You must be a... You should go fire off a bet right now.
No, I don't think I'm going to do that.
Over 6.5 wins. Can they get to 7? Now, I like that. I like those odds. But... 10.5, you might be pushing it a little bit there. NC State.
This has got to be 6.5.
That is 6.5.
See?
Send me that cash.
Jake
up,
Dickert. The... What did he call himself?
The Breakfast King of the Midwest.
That's right. The Breakfast King of the Midwest. His first season at Wake Forest.
Psst. 5.5.
4.5.
Ugh.
Second worst odds in the league, Stanford.
I felt like I was
Frank
shooting right in.
3.5. So those are some of the ACC win totals. I'll tell you what, man. Duke's the one I want to jump on. That's the one I look at and say, we're probably going to go over 6.5 wins at Duke. Can you pull up their schedule for me? Do it on the screen here so we can see what Duke's schedule looks like. Maybe why the schedule looks that way. Let me see where Georgia Tech is as well. Georgia Tech over 7.5 wins. I like that as well, given what that schedule looks like.
those are the ones that stand out going over four. And then we got odds for week one college football. All right, do we have Duke's schedule here? Zoom in on that a little bit, so, because my eyes aren't so great. So Duke has to play Ole Miss in the that was in the bowl game this past year. Yeah. They open up with Elon. Illinois, win, because that's in Durham. Oh.
A rematch, or a revenge game, Tulane.
Darian Minsa playing. Yeah. That's going to be fun in New Orleans. You got State at home at Syracuse. Georgia Tech comes to Durham. You got to go to Cal. Okay, you go to Death Valley to play Clemson. UConn on the road, okay. Nothing too daunting. Wake at home, Virginia at home, at North. Yeah, I see 7 wins there for Manny Diaz in this Duke program. Yeah, I think I'm on them and I'm on Georgia Tech. Those are the ones I really like. Okay, getting to week one odds. Do you want to know where would you place the line for ECU at NC State to open up the season?
We'll give them 5.5. That might be too much.
NC State minus 5.5? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
14.5.
Oh, boy. That was a bad pick. A
lot of points for the Pirates, who won the bowl game. A lot of points for the Pirates. How about Bill Belichick's first game in Chapel Hill? TCU, 8 o'clock kick, Monday night, Labor Day Monday, facing the Tar Heels. What's that line?
Carolina, 10.5.
1.5.
No respect.
Might want to lay that line right now, Will. Might just want to lay that right now. North Carolina minus 1.5.
Cash up, fam.
Other marquee games that weekend. See, the ACC, you could say a lot of things about the ACC, Will, but they schedule bangers to open the season.
They do.
On Thursday night to open up the opening weekend, Colorado, Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's a 3.5-point favorite at Deion Sanders, Colorado team in Boulder. On Friday night, Syracuse faces Tennessee. I think that game's in Knoxville. Saturday afternoon, Alabama goes to Tallahassee to play Florida State. That night, Clemson in Death Valley faces LSU. Sunday afternoon, South Carolina faces Virginia Tech. Sunday night, Notre Dame-Miami. That's an ACC game. And then you have TCU North Carolina. It might be the greatest weekend the ACC has had schedule-wise with all these high-level bangers. Clemson favored against LSU by 2.5 points. South Carolina favored over Virginia Tech by 9.5 points. Florida State is an 11.5-point home underdog against Alabama. Tennessee, 12.5-point favorites against Syracuse. Notre Dame favored by 1.5 against Miami and Carson Beck. And we mentioned that North Carolina is only 1.5-point favorite against TCU. You might be thinking, Josh, this is way down the line. How about you just give me a pick tonight? Fine. We're going Rudy Gobert over 9.5 rebounds.
Send me that cash up, fam.
For Minnesota tonight against Oklahoma City. This is the concern I have with Oklahoma City, Will. The concern I have is the size of Minnesota. It's not Anthony Edwards because you got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's the size of Minnesota. Rudy Gobert and his one start against the Knicks. Against Isaiah Hartenstein, I should say, last year had 15 rebounds. So just need to get into double-digit boards. I think that might be the flaw with Oklahoma City, who's coming off of Game 7 just a couple nights ago. So we like Rudy Gobert to grab some boards tonight. And that's been Best Bets for today. The Drive. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Search The Drive with Josh Graham, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. Huh? Oh, yeah.
I'm really disappointed in you.
I forgot.
Today, we had breakfast and baseball today. Breakfast!
ACC, what was that?
You never heard that meme? Breakfast!
Never heard that. Breakfast? How's that spelled?
B-E-A-K-F-A-S-T.
Beckfist, so you just take the R out?
You do. Beckfist.
Why?
It's a meme. Just look it up.
Beckfist. Look that up. Yeah, the ACC baseball tournament started
9 a.m.
Yeah.
9 a frickin' M with Cal and Miami. And Cal, how about it? A big 10-run win.
10 runs.
12-2. So they will move on. They'll get Wake Forest. And right now, you've got top of the seventh, Virginia Tech, Stanford. Virginia Tech up 6.
It's terrible.
2. And the winner of that game gets Clemson.
I'm ashamed that I asked.
Are you?
I am.
So there you go. Got Louisville Pitt Beckfist coming up at 5 o'clock after that. Beckfist!
It's terrible.
Is it?
The Baltimore Orioles are also terrible. 7 straight they've lost, Will. They are 15-31 on the season. Atlanta plays Washington tonight. That matters more than whatever the Orioles are doing. On TBS, it's the Mets and Red Sox. Your Yankees play the Texas Rangers tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The D-backs drilled L.A. last night. Saw that. St. Louis is really good. They beat the Tigers, who have the best record in the American League. So that's what's going on in baseball. Not just the ACC baseball tournament. Wake and Duke will be in action tomorrow. Wake starts at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning facing the Cal Bears because of Cal's win
nine times.
And according to Les Johns, Logan Lunsford is going to throw tomorrow morning for Wake Forest. Actually, that's according to a release from Wake Forest Athletics.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
The Navy calls it Fighter Weapons School. The pilots call it Top Gun. WD's movie for this week, Top Gun Maverick. Usually I don't have to put this disclaimer on this segment, Will, because the movies we're talking about are 10, 15, 20, 30, sometimes even 40 or 50 years old. But since this movie is only 3 years old this month, I have to put the disclaimer, there might be spoilers in this segment. Top Gun Maverick. WD already saw the original Top Gun. Let's see if he liked it. First time watching it this week.
Unless you're talking about Star Wars,
Obi-Wan has taught you well.
Movies aren't exactly Will's thing.
I don't get it.
You uncultured swine!
But that's about to change because Josh can't stand it anymore. This is At the Movies with Will Dalton.
I also, for those who are unfamiliar, we'll get back to the sports ball, sports-related stuff in a bit. Looking at you specifically, Darl. I think his name's Darl, who's writing in. I always love when a comment starts with these two words. Hey, stupid. It's a great way to start. Like, what sentence, what comment starts better than, hey, stupid? It's great. Do you know anything about basketball? No punctuation either. No comma. No question mark. Charlotte needs a big man. You're probably the reason why they haven't drafted properly in the last 10 years. Listening to you. Appreciate you watching, listening. Darl, it is great. I mean, was Mark Williams drafted in the last 10 years? I think he was.
Yeah, within the last 5, I think.
5? No, 3 years ago.
30, yeah.
Because he was the guy trying to contest Caleb Love's shot in 2022.
Right.
Let's not forget about that. Hey, stupid. Not using great grammar or punctuation either via text. It was one of my favorite things in Top Gun. This probably isn't the thing I'll choose. Capturing old man texts very well. Between Mav and Ice.
Yeah.
Using a lot of punctuation, correct pronunciations. No abbreviations, no nothing. Appreciated that. We're getting sidetracked. What did you like? Did you like Top Gun Maverick?
I did like it, and it's tough to like. It's tough to get to a place where you like something more than the original.
I'm there.
I think I might be too. Now, one of the things I liked about it so much, and
also, aren't you a guy who says that the prequels are better than the original Star Wars?
Yes.
So why is that tough for you to say something is better than the original?
Well, okay, so it's a general thing that people say is it's tough to outdo the original. And honestly, a lot of people disagree with me about the prequels in Star Wars, besides the point. But because of... I feel like on the mission, when it gets late in the movie, especially when Tom Cruise basically says, screw it, I'm going to show them that this can be done, right?
Yeah. And they set it up, made sure to emphasize time and time again. 2:30, that seems impossible. And then they do it in 2:15, yes. And it's like a sports movie for about 5 minutes. Whoa!
And just the visuals of Tom Cruise in the cockpit and just seeing it go sway back and forth with every movie made. Like, it was just so cool to look at cinematically.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's a movie that I really wish I could have saw in theaters.
100%.
It seems like one that was meant to be seen in theaters.
See, saw it twice when it was in theaters. I have written down, what did I like? What did I like about this movie? Almost everything. But if I had to just point to one thing that I liked the most about this movie, the answer might surprise you, Will. I wrote down two words. Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, she was pretty good in this movie.
She is perfect. Perfect. Tom Cruise struggles to find love interest that he has chemistry with. Jennifer Connelly got the job done. I mean, the intimate scene was awkward, as it is in every Cruise movie. We did Days of Thunder a few weeks ago, and that's when he had, like, the Splenda, and it didn't make a lot of sense. This one, they're just laughing at something, and you don't really see much of anything at all. This is a great movie, PG-13 movie that you introduced to. You can watch if you're 13 years old. You can enjoy if you're 18, maybe even a little bit younger than 13. But WD, she's so perfect, it's to the point where it becomes a fault almost. And what I mean by that is, you wonder if there's actually a person like this in real life. And the answer is no. Oh, wait, there's this single person that looks like Jennifer Connelly who can man the most perfect bar ever right off the beach in San Diego by herself with 125 people at this bar at one time and still have time to have a conversation with you. And oh, yeah, is loaded enough to have like an early 60s Porsche and has the most perfect child ever that doesn't seem to have any drama whatsoever and also knows how to sail. That person exists on this planet and is still single, just waiting for Tom Cruise to walk in? No, she does not exist. But in this movie, just perfect. And Jennifer Connelly is perfect. And I think it's her best role.
Also, I have to throw this out there before we move on to what we didn't like about this movie. I loved Glenn Powell's character. I loved Hangman.
That doesn't surprise me.
I thought he was fantastic.
What did you dislike about Top Gun Maverick?
How was he able to survive the Mach 10 crash?
Okay.
Are you glad I went here?
That does lead to a theory on the internet. There is a theory that, for those who haven't seen the movie, he goes Mach 10. If you don't know what Mach 10 is, Mach 1 is the speed of light.
Yeah.
So 10 times that, his plane explodes, and then he walks into that
restaurant.
Where are you from, Earth? Great scene. But there's a theory on the internet that he actually died. And it makes sense that he died in that crash at the beginning and the rest of the movie is just a fever dream. Smitty writes in, speed of sound, actually, not speed of light. Okay, thank you. Appreciate the correction, actually. I honestly do. And the theory is that that's why everything's so perfect. All that, you should be kicked off for wrecking this plane, but no, we're going to send you back to Top Gun where you're needed. And oh, Jennifer Connelly, your old flame is just waiting for you and the bar's perfect. And
Oh, you get to reconnect with Iceman and make amends with Goose's son. And everything's so perfect. And there she is with a Porsche at the end. Yeah. Like, there is that theory out there.
And also, according to ChatGPT, it's not scientifically possible for a human to survive that type of ejection.
No. No. So that theory holds weight. It's hard to pick anything when you say that you like everything in the movie. And if I do pick something specifically, my heart isn't fully in it. Like, I could do dogfight football. Football with two balls, offense and defense at the same time. Like, if I wanted to nitpick, I could do that and say, this doesn't make any sense. I just want to know the rules. If we had Tom Cruise on the show, see, I see he's going on McAfee, which is interesting because he doesn't do interviews, and he's going to go on with a wild card. If I'm McAfee, I'm just asking about wild card or asking about dogfight football. Is it going to end up like the Oprah couch interview? I don't know. Like, what are the rules? How does that work? I could say that they rip off Star Wars with the way that they blow up the Death Star in the original Star Wars is a lot like how they blew up this whatever. You could criticize the fact that we have no idea who the enemy is and say, like, it's super ambiguous. Like, is this the Chinese? Is it the Russians? What part of the world is it? But then you could say, well, is that actually good that you don't know who it is and make the movie age better? I don't know. You could criticize the Star Wars ripoff and the Point Break ripoff, but also say maybe those are just paying homage to those things. So my heart's not in it for any of those criticisms. All right, what's the best quote?
I don't sail boats. I land on them.
It's the only one I've got. That's a pretty good one. Maybe so, sir, but not today.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your savior speaking.
You really do like Glenn Powell's character in this movie.
I did.
Talk to me, Goose. Talk to me, Dad.
Yep.
This is probably the best one. This is maybe the life lesson of the movie, Top Gun Maverick. It's not the plane. It's the pilot.
Yeah.
All right. Rotten Tomatoes score. Between 1 to 100. 100 being very good. 1 being bad.
I bet this one's really high. Let's go 89. And it may not be high enough. It may not be high enough.
The answer for the Rotten Tomatoes score of Top Gun Maverick is 99.
Whoa!
99.
Whoa!
Is the answer. 99. That might be the highest one that we've done. I don't think can get higher.
It is.
I don't think there's a 100 out there. And that's been At the Movies with the WD.